Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, all right, all right. Okay, that's that heat. That's that fire. Those are those G Monetti beats.
What up?
Coming live and direct. We got a special. Well, it's not more special than the others, but when G Monetti is in Los Angeles, it becomes more special.
Indeed.
And we're coming live and direct. G Monetti has flown out from New York City to LA once again, and we are in the Vroom Tomb, which is my car, live from the streets of Los Angeles. As you could hear, I'm in this car, one hand on the mic, the other hand on the wheel, two eyes on the road, and we're doing it big time. G Monetti.
Yes, yes.
How was your flight from the Big Apple?
It was smooth. That's all I asked for up there, man.
Yeah?
That's all I asked. The pilots did their thing.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
That means that it was very little turbulence. So I was calm,
uh-huh,
and I was able to watch TV without, shivering and quaking in my boots.
Because you're sort of a nervous flyer.
Yeah. Because when I hear that turbulence, when I feel that, I'm wondering, is the motherfucker having difficulty up there?
Right.
You see? Why is it moving like that?
Right.
So when it's smooth, you got me like I'm on the ground. When I get movement, I know we're 30,000 feet in the air.
But what is your fear? That the fucking plane's just going to start dropping?
What if it goes into a death spiral? What if he's losing control? See, you don't know. I'm not a pilot. I don't know about aviation. I see shit bumping.
Yeah,
I get scared.
I get you. I try not to think about it because, you know, as I mentioned a few podcasts ago, I threw up on a plane.
You see?
I have not a good stomach. And a weak stomach. I don't deal with shaking and baking very, very well. But it's good to have you out here in Los Angeles. What was the? I got to be honest with you. I haven't been
interested in going to New York City since the winter hit. Normally, I'm always like, yeah, I had a couple opportunities to go to New York for this, that, and the other thing, this, that, and the third.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck that. I don't want to deal with the cold. So
don't.
Has it been rough out there in New York?
Yeah, it just recently got really brick.
Yeah.
So if you could stay out here, you stay out here and it's nice sunshine.
It's been tough, huh? Yeah. I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in it. And I was going to go there and do something. And I've acted in the streets of New York in the cold weather before. It sucks.
I can only imagine.
It sucks. You're out there trying to act normal. And you know, sort of, you know, flow and all that shit,
right.
And you're freezing your ass off, and you're wearing some sort of wardrobe that you 99% of the time you wouldn't wear to actually keep warm.
Wow.
But this is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. The I Am Rapport is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. If you've never listened before, which I can't believe someone would just jump into it first here, but there's new listeners each week, each yes. episode. Just to give the quick overview, we don't fact check anything ever. We go raw dog without a bag. I'm planning on going very special raw dog without a bag this episode.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we do, G Monetti? If you don't know who I am, my name is Michael Rapport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Albino Rhino,
uh-huh.
a.k.a. the White Arsenio Hall, and this is my partner. His name is Gerald Moody,
yes.
Which, you know, after knowing you for, what is it now?
34 years.
You know, I didn't never thought of this, but your last name, Moody, rhymes with duty.
Oh, you never?
I never, ever equated the two things together. No bullshit.
What?
So my partner, Gerald Moody, last name rhymes with duty, a.k.a. G. Monetti.
Yes.
A.k.a. G. Moody. A.K.A. the Black Ed McMahon.
Word up.
Comes live and direct from Brooklyn, New York. By way of the Bronx these days.
Yes.
Let me see. So if you've never listened to the I Am Rapport podcast, take 99% of what we say not seriously. And it's up to you to decipher that 1% that may be serious. We fact check nothing. We come live and direct. And it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
The I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper.com. Go to Casper.com if you want to sleep fantastically. If you want to sleep magnificently, go to Casper.com. And while you're there, you can save $50 off your first purchase. Award-winning sleep technology. G. Monetti, what has your life been like since you started sleeping on a Casper mattress? Keep it real.
It's been great, but since the fire, I don't have it.
Right.
My Casper. So now, of course, my back has regressed, and now the muscles are beginning to flutter again.
Go to Casper Mattress. Check it out. 100 nights, they guarantee. They will let you keep the mattress for 100 nights. If you do not like it, Casper will come and pick up your mattress. They'll probably shake their head at you and be like, damn. You're missing out. They'll return it for free, donate it, or recycle. Go to Casper.com. That's Casper.com. C-A-S-P-E-R. Save $50 using the promo code Rappaport. R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Proud sponsor of the I Am Rapport podcast. So, G Monetti.
What's the deal?
I've spoken a few times already about this Oscar so white.
Oh, yeah. White out.
The white Oscars. But we haven't spoken about this together.
Okay.
My stance has been that the Oscars is an inaccurate award
right.
every year. Do you know that Robert De Niro was not nominated right. for Mean Streets?
The public does not know this.
Mean Streets, one of the most iconic, influential performances. He brought that Italian boom, that Vinnie Boom Bot shit,
uh-huh.
wasn't nominated for Mean Streets. There's been so many Oscar fuck-ups, so many people that have been nominated that should have won, black, white, Puerto Rican. But of course, this year, the controversy is over the Oscars not nominating one African-American or black performer in any of the acting categories.
Right.
I said plenty of people deserved Oscars that did. Benicio del Toro's performance in Sicario How is he not awarded an Oscar? One of the best performances of 2015. If you haven't seen Sicario, it's a great film. Benicio del Toro, Emily Blunt, and what the fuck is his name? We don't fact check here at the I Am Rapport Stereo. His name will come to me.
Right.
Good actor. Love that movie. For me, it was like he's definitely winning an Oscar. Another actor who didn't get awarded any nomination, I thought he did a great job in 99 Homes, this kid, Armie Hammer,
right,
who I actually shitted on earlier last year because he was complaining about being an actor. But he's a really good actor. 99 Homes, small film, Michael Shannon, he didn't get nominated. Okay. Ryan Gosling didn't get nominated.
Okay.
Walton Goggins didn't get nominated. Samuel Jackson didn't get nominated. Plenty of people didn't get... Ridley Scott, the great Ridley Scott, didn't get nominated for directing The Martian. I mean, it happens every year.
Right.
It happens every year. But this year, motherfuckers are saying no. And I'm not going to regurgitate what I've already said about it. But I wanted to hear your opinion. Most recently, Will Smith said...
He's not coming.
He, of course, wasn't nominated for Concussion. I've said a few times that he should not have been nominated.
You did say that.
Just because you do an accent doesn't mean you will get the awards. Tell the truth. Right. Will Smith's performance isn't as good as Walton Goggins, in my opinion.
Right.
Samuel Jackson's performance should have gotten nominated over Will Smith. But that's not the point. The point is... It's an inaccurate award. It's subjective. It's not an arm wrestling contest.
But the public
doesn't know that. It's not a Super Bowl.
They don't know that.
But it's not sports. And there is no quota on what kind of people should be nominated each year. But I've said what I needed to say about it over and over and over. And I want to hear what you have to say. Now, you know what? Because you've said before on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast that you speak for...
I speak for... What did I say? The black... The black people who don't mind being black. You see, you have to get that right and have clarity with that.
Okay. What does that mean?
That's a difference.
Oh, articulate that.
The black person that doesn't mind being black, they're okay with their blackness.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay with braiding their hair and having it out in public and dreads. And those are the black people.
You have a bald head.
That's right. But if I could grow some hair... I'd have an afro or fucking dreads.
Can you imagine you with dreads?
Yeah.
You would look crazy.
Yeah,
with dreads.
I look bugged out.
All right, so go ahead.
Now, some people say, well, the BET Awards and Soul Train Awards,
NAACP
Awards, those awards. The reason why those awards we have those awards, we had to set up those awards, is because of not being acknowledged, right? That's why those things even came in to being. Because if everybody's equal, right, you don't need the Black Entertainment Awards. You don't need those NAACP, Soul Train. You don't need that if everything is equal. Because everybody gets acknowledged at some point, right? Now, with us, our history is we've never been part of that. We've never been part of that. So they created awards.
You mean you've never been part of the mainstream awards? Like for a long time, the Oscars and all that.
The first one, what, Hattie McDaniel?
Right.
Right. So we've always been shown, yo, you're not part of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. That's the history of it. So in order, we did our own thing. So that's why it's predominantly... the black people get the awards.
Because, you know, I was nominated for an NAACP award.
Yeah, they do that.
Okay. But I lost. Anyway, that's just a little just a little thing about me.
Look at Sterling. He got two awards.
Donald Sterling, right.
We don't be bullshitting. We give the awards to motherfuckers.
Okay. Keep going. This is good stuff, Moody.
So what I'm saying is, we didn't create this separate society, but we made it better.
Okay.
Right? So we are part of the American fabric, right? But we don't get the same treatment. So for us to never see a black person nominated is rare, right? So we don't watch that shit.
But the black folks in general fuck with the Oscars anyway. Since you're speaking on behalf of, say it one more time.
The black people who don't mind being black.
Okay. So up until this year, do you think, based on your research and stats, because I know you do research and stats.
But I don't fact check.
I know you don't fact check.
Okay.
But based on that, would you say that like your uncles and your family in South Carolina and where you grew up.
They don't give a fuck about no Oscars.
Okay.
Except.
Ever?
When Whoopi Goldberg, when there's one of their own. Everybody feels like that. You want to see your people there. You don't understand how this shit works. But you know, we've been here and we make movies. And some of the movies are good and they don't get nominated. And this goes on year after year after year. We're not talking 3 years. Sometimes this shit, 100 years.
Right. But this year, for me, I don't feel like, you know, as far as the general sort of snubs, there's been snubs every year.
All around, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's people, it's a subjective award. And you know, like this boycotting and da 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 da. Like, yo, what's the solution? Like, you want dudes to get, like, should Marlon Wayans get nominated for Best Actor for 50 Shades of Black?
Fuck no. Fuck no, but.
Do you think that Marlon Wayans should get nominated for 50 Shades of Black, which is opening in theaters soon? Like, should there be a quota? Like, I don't know what the solution is. And then.
The solution is to diversify the motherfuckers that pick.
I agree with that.
And then
if you diversify, because the Academy Award, the Academy itself, you know, there's an actual quote-unquote Academy. That needs to be changed, because I think that they're old and out of touch.
That's the problem.
Okay, but I don't know if you diversify the actual Academy, I wonder will that diversify who gets nominated. I wonder will that diversify it.
I think you have more rounded opinion of shit.
Right.
Instead of one archaic view of black people or movies and shit.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I hear that. Because I think that the Academy itself is an old, and I believe, I guess it's predominantly white, but it's also old. I think it should just be diversified in general. What do you think about this whole thing, though? Like, you know, like, what do you think the solution is? Do you think it's fair to boycott the Academy Awards, yet and still there's the Black Entertainment Awards? Like, do you think, my concern is that, like, it's a slippery slope. This whole thing is a slippery slope.
But you say the Black Entertainment Awards, but the reason why there even is such a thing is because motherfuckers had to create their own shit.
But Will Smith said today, like, he goes, the times that I've lost Oscars, I lost to black other right. black actors.
And he said it seems like we're regressing because of that. But I say, fuck all the boycotting. Fuck the boycott.
What do you say?
I say, come back next time with better content. And diversify that panel.
Yeah, diversify.
So we don't look at you like, oh, this is some bullshit.
Right.
That's what. Come back with content and get rid of these old 80-year-old motherfuckers up on the panel that only view a certain ethnic group like this in a certain negative way. That's it. That's the solution. That's it.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you think, are there any Oscar snubs? Now, I know you haven't seen all the films.
Straight Outta Compton.
You think Straight Outta Compton?
That's the only one.
To me, Straight Outta Compton is a very, very, very good, important film.
Right.
But the Oscars in general, I don't think they're ever. They don't usually nominate pop culture films. That's no disrespect. I fucked with Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
I thought that the all the actors were really good, but I didn't say at the end of the day. I thought that the kid who played Easy possibly could have been nominated.
You did say that.
But I said that when it came out.
Yep, you told me.
But
that.
I didn't say it. When at the end of the day, I he didn't get nominated. That had nothing to do with race. I think it had more to do with a pop culture film. It's like a rock doc. It's a hip-hop film, which is going to be, a new genre of films. It's a hip-hop film. And I think that has less to do with race. It's just like they just in general, just like Star Wars, it's a pop culture film.
Right.
It's not going to get nominated. It's pop culture. You know,
yeah.
So I think that, like, you know, like that kid not getting nominated, you know, you could say, well, this person, you know, like, again, it's subjective. I don't know. You know, I just think that it's a slippery slope. And you don't want it to be like where like they're just nominating black people just to nominate it, where it's a quota. It becomes like, okay, well, like the mandatory thing, because then what is it? I don't know. It's fucked up. I know that the motherfuckers are, there's no drinking water in Flint, Michigan. Black, white, Puerto Rican, and Asian. My name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation.
Like poison.
You know, so I know that that's going on, yet and still this Oscar thing is dominating it. And
yeah, fuck that Oscar.
Yeah, I'm done with the Oscar shit, but this is going to continue. And well, what do you think about Chris Rock? Because apparently, these things could just be made up.
What happened?
But apparently, they're saying, well, Chris Rock is getting pressure to not host the Oscars.
Let me talk to Chris.
Host it.
That's all I can say. Don't even look back. Do your thing. We know what you're going to do. You're going to bring light, shed light on it in a comedic way that you do, and rock it.
Okay.
What the fuck you want to pressure me not to host?
Right. That's a definitely...
It's a once-in-a-lifetime gig, and he's done it more than fucking once.
And also, that's like it's at least $1 million payday.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, so G Monetti, me and G Monetti definitely think you should host it, Chris Rock. I co-sign what G Monetti's saying. Okay, what do you think about this? This has to do with race. Khloe Kardashian, wife of Lamar Odom, we know her history. She's been going around doing press for her new show, Cocktails with Khloé.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything has to be sexual. Like
innuendo.
Yeah. Cocktails with Khloé with a K. And I wanted to hear your opinion on this. She has been almost, in my opinion, it's been a braggadocious thing saying she's never had sex with a white person.
Damn.
Never. In all her years of having sex, I think someone took that when she was 14.
Over there in Palisades?
Yeah, in the Palisades. Somebody took that when she was 14.
Some brother on a team or something.
31 now. She's never been saying that. She's saying that she's never had sex with a white person, ever. And she's saying it almost as if she wants some sort of trophy for that.
Right.
Like she wants the Purple Heart Award or like the fucking Valedictorian Award.
Right.
Like she's going around saying that. I don't know why that. I don't know if she's brought it up or the question's been asked, but this is her fucking like she's puffing her chest out.
Right. I like the how do white guys feel about that? So
that's an interesting question. How do white guys feel? I mean,
she's like
I take her for a couple of laps around the track, and I guarantee you she's gonna come back for a lot of more. I'll take her for a couple of laps around the track,
yeah,
and she's gonna be like, "Oh, I see,
I see how you get down."
Yeah, cause she ain't gonna. I'm gonna take her on the shake and bake, okay? I'm gonna take her on the shake and bake if she comes this way.
Yeah, she's talking a lot of shit, man. If I was a white guy, I'd be like, "Yo, fuck this."
Yeah,
man.
She's messing around with dude's fuck style reputation.
Yeah,
you come over here to you come over here to Rappaport Lane. I'm gonna give you something you remember.
Yeah,
something real nice.
Yeah, come in the trailer.
Yeah, come in the trailer.
Come in the trailer. I'll show you Remy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'll show you Remy.
Show you Remy real nice. Yeah. I'll show you how Remy gets down. Remy, of course, is the iconic character I've played in Higher Learning. That was a reference to G Monetti.
That's right.
But so for me, I just think like, you know, I just don't know what she wants by saying that.
Yeah, that's
like I feel
out.
Like she wants a trophy. Like, she wants some sort of award for that.
So what did the questioner? What would he say? Wow, you never fucked a white guy?
Why not? You've been with a lot of guys,
right? What's your angle with that?
Because for me, like when I was growing up, people would say, you only, like there was a short period of time when I was like, I was only around black girls and Puerto Rican girls.
Right.
But I never discriminated.
Right.
Like I was never like, oh, I'm only going to go with black girls. There's so many beautiful women of every color, every flavor. And they all have diversified fuck styles.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. You got to kick all the tires.
Yeah, you got to kick all the tires.
Word.
So I never discriminated it. And for her, now, the first white dude that, if there is a first white, now she's dating James Harden.
Well, she's already writing bad shit about him because he out in the club.
Something I read.
Well, what does she think?
I don't know, man.
He's an NBA player.
Yeah.
He's James Harden. He's worth $200 million. He's an NBA player. And you're not with him every single night. And if you were with him every single night, it was... I'm not saying James Harden has other chicks, side pieces. We call them macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the probability of an NBA player who's not married to you, not freaking off on the side. And are you going to be surprised? Are you going to be surprised, Chloe? Now, do you have anything to say to Chloe? Would you like to give her any sort of open invite?
Come to Gun Hill Road.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll show you what a real
show you what it is.
Right.
Be up at the 2 train.
Butt-ass Nick.
Going into this weekend, I'm just telling you guys right now, the NFL playoffs are coming up. The conference championships. It's Brady and Belichick versus Peyton Manning and Cam Newton versus the Arizona Cardinals. Trust me, we're going to be watching the games with a nice bowl.
Oxtail soup. Yellow rice. It's going to be big time in it.
I can't wait for Sunday's games. G Monetti's bringing the oxtail stew to Los Angeles. We're gonna be watching the games and all that stuff. And obviously the question, G Monetti has not let off about the New England Patriots cheating. And what we're trying to do is get press passes for us for the next press conference, because Bill Belichick continues to frustrate the shit out of the media, not answering, not regarding any of their questions and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
And along with G Monetti and myself showing up to the next Patriots press conference, we want to get a press pass for Danny Aiello to show up.
Please.
Danny Aiello at the next Patriots press conference. Here's a little clip. Excuse me. Yeah, I got a question for Mr. Belichick. You had a fucking black eye last week, you cocksucker. You were up on this fucking panel. Who punched you in your fucking face? And Belichick's gonna answer like this. Whoa, just... Listen to me, you mumbling cocksucker. Why do you have a fucking black eye, motherfucker, you? Answer the fucking questions, you motherfucking mumbling cocksucker, you! And Bill Belichick's gonna be like,
well, I have to do that game and we're gonna play the game and
this cocksucker won't answer my fucking question. I'm gonna ask one more fucking question. This fucking guy. What's the defensive end's name?
Oh, Chandler something, right?
Chandler fucking Jones. This pot-smoking, K2-drinking motherfucker. You're gonna let this cocksucker play another game? And then you're gonna be like, Danny, chill out, calm down. And I'm gonna be like, Danny, don't scream at him. He's gonna be, shut the fuck up. I'm asking the fucking questions here, Rappaport. Why is your fucking defensive end smoking fucking drugs, you cocksucker, you? And Bill Belichick's gonna be like, oh, what are you gonna do? That's what's gonna happen at the next Patriots press conference. When we get press access passes.
I have questions.
G Monetti's gonna be asking a question too. What are gonna be your questions?
My questions would be the same. Like, what the fuck? Yo, do you hear me? What the fuck happened to your eye?
Why do you have a black eye, Bill Belichick? And I'm pretty sure he had makeup covering his black eye the last game. How did you get the black eye? We want to know.
Right.
If it was just a random thing like a home accident, like you bumped into a cabinet, why can't you say that? Is the media so dumb? You just have no regard for them.
He ice grilled the lady that was asking the question. He was just grilling her and just ignored her.
You're 60 something years old.
He do that shit to me, man.
What are you gonna say? First, I'm asking you the fucking question. Why do you have a black eye, you cheating cocksucker, you?
I'm going to throw some N-words at his ass to get the fucking, get the answers I want to hear. You try not to answer my shit.
Throw some N-words at
cheating
him.
Cheating ass nigga.
You're going to say this to him.
Yeah.
Yo, if anybody has a hookup for press passes for me, Moody, and Aiello for the next Patriots press conference, trust me, we're going to get all the questions.
All the answers. We're going to get all of them. He's going to answer everything. We're going to run up on the stage.
Yeah, or we're going to get thrown out. Trust me, Aiello is going to get the questions answered. Danny Aiello at the press conference would be so good.
Hell yeah.
So we're looking to make that happen ASAP. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Doing Aiello's, it always takes the wind out of me. What were you going to
say? I heard you talking about Drippy. You was on a podcast called Drippy.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was that? I was on Anna Faris. My new friend Anna Faris. She's got a great podcast. And somehow we got on the subject. You could hear it on her podcast. It's Unqualified. But somehow on Anna Faris's podcast, the actress who's on Mom, Scary Movie, iconic comedic actress, funny as shit, married to a big star, Chris Pratt. Somehow or another on her podcast, because I like her. She's funny. Very funny. We got on the conversation about drippy dicks.
And what is that?
Well, I think she asked me about sexually transmitted diseases. I don't know what we were talking about.
Urethritis.
Gonorrhea, syphilis. But when I was 17...
Everybody got burnt.
Elaborate on that.
This is
the 90s, you know?
Everybody...
The 80s. This is the 80s.
Yeah, it was called... You get burnt, you get urethritis. What's that? Chlamydia.
Yes.
You know, that's the like a rite of passage.
Yeah, when you're a teenager. I don't know, like... Yeah, the boys and the girls.
Shit happens, man.
Yeah. So when I was 17 at basketball practice, when I was at Martin Luther King High School, I remember distinctly, you know, making a move or a cut or a jump, which when my jumps, they weren't high.
Right, right.
And my cuts, they weren't fast.
And you felt leakage.
I felt leakage, a.k.a.
And you weren't urinating.
No, but it felt like I was almost urinating, a.k.a. drippy dick. And on her podcast, we were talking about drippy dick syndrome.
Discharge.
So I hate to be so graphic, ladies and gentlemen, but when you're a teenager, this is the way you speak, because I was like, I was freaked out.
Right.
So then I went into the bathroom, and this is before compression shorts, and you know, now everybody wears the compression shorts and like the Under Armour, right. you know, when you play, you have all this. This is just where you'd practice in underwear.
Word.
You know, we didn't have all this, like, Under Armour this and Nike that. Like, this is before that stuff started being, you know, mass-produced and part of the market. So I'm wearing white underwear, and I feel like this something coming out of me during the practice. Now you might be like, ew, and that's not a lot, but it feels like a little bit of something. So I was telling Anna Faris about this, And you know, telling her this story. And what I did is you go to, what is it called? It's not the nurse. It's the, in high school. Who do you go to see?
Well, I don't know the fuck.
What was it called? Not the nurse. It's, the fuck was it called? I don't, like, not,
who knows? The motherfucker fixed you, man.
The nurse. So I went in there and I had to go tell us. It's so embarrassing. You're 17 years old. Right. Like, yo, something's, you know what it is. Like there a big part of you actually knows what it is.
Right.
You know what it is.
You know you got burned.
You know you got something. And I had been with two or three girls at this point.
Right.
Three, four, maybe something. I had an older girl from the Bronx named Antoinette. Jamaican girl, and then I had another girl from Brooklyn, and has been to two or three women, you know, girls. We're kids.
Right, kids.
So I go to her, I tell her this, la, 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 la. Of course, I was going raw dog without a bag, which I don't, I like to go raw dog without a bag but on the podcast, but in real life, you should bag it up.
Strap your shit.
But I wasn't. And she told me, she took a sample, she had to stick the little Q-tip in my loaf.
That's the worst part.
That's the worst part, is the Q-tip in the loaf.
I jumped back one time.
And anyway, she said I had the gonorrhea. Was it the gonorrhea?
They
gave me some pills, and that was the end of it. And I was knocking on wood in the vroom tomb.
Because you didn't get the monster.
Thank God I didn't get the monster. And it was the one and only time, knock on wood, that I ever had drippy dick.
Right.
Now, I did acquire crabs, but that's a whole other episode, once from being in a hotel. I was in a monogamous relationship. I was really trying to be monogamous, and I got crabs.
Damn, at a telly?
In a telly. And they're like, yeah, right. Why would I lie now? It was 20 years ago. Damn. I got crabs in the telly. It was the only way it could have been.
Hell yeah.
And let me tell you something. When you see a living, breathing entity crawling through your pubic hairs, that's another fucking thing you will never forget.
Oh, well,
that is a horrible...
Living off you.
Horrible feeling. And it is a horrible thing to come to terms with. It ain't an ant. It's a living, breathing crab in your pubes. And because I'm so fair-skinned and my pubes are red...
You saw it.
You could see the little black crab crawling around. It's horrific.
Oh, you had to be black, huh?
Hey, it was black. It was a black little fucker, or brown. Little fucker was crawling through my red pubes on my white skin. It was very, very easy to see. There was no... Once I looked at it like that, it was very fucking easy to see. But that's for a whole other episode.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
Today we're talking about drippy dicks at the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. Have you ever had a drippy dick, G Monetti?
Yeah, man. I told you they put that swab.
No. How did you get to that point? We know that they put the swab. I want you to walk me through this, and I remember this happened to you. But walk us through when, how, what age. And who burnt you? Who burnt you?
I don't know. I can't remember. That shit was a long time ago,
okay,
bro.
Well, how old were you?
Why I got to fucking tell your ass who? Let me tell you, I got in the clinic.
The clinic?
Right?
Yeah.
The lady asked me all kind of questions.
But why did you go to the clinic?
Homegirl burnt me.
But how did you know you were burnt?
Oh, the feeling. Your shit don't get as hard because it
don't get so graphic.
Okay.
Don't get so graphic, Moody.
Okay. All right.
This is a family-friendly show.
The erections are not as fierce.
Uh-huh.
So...
And this is in your 20s or your teens?
Teens.
Right, where you're really, like, when you brick up it, real proper.
Right, because the mornings are unusual. I don't get those mornings no more like that.
Okay,
So you feel a difference, and then there's a slight burning, right? And then... There's slight discharge. That's when you say, oh, shit.
Yeah, you know.
Right?
You know it, but you don't know it. And you're in denial. You don't want to know it. I hope we're not grossing out the people. I hope we're making people feel more comfortable. That if you get something, you need to get it fixed ASAP.
Go right to the... As soon as I saw that in my drawers.
And imagine Charlie Sheen. He knows he has HIV.
And he's still raw dogging.
Damn.
And they don't take this motherfucker's show off. He get more syndication. Damn.
Yo, that is crazy, because I could never give anybody that nice green drip that I had. I would never do that. He had the monster, and he was doing it.
Yo.
So anyway, so you went to the clinic.
And the lady was an old white lady. And you gotta undress, pull your shit out.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's so embarrassing.
And you're a teenager. Right. Like, now I at the doctor, I get butt ass. I don't care. I've talked about it, the prostate exam. I'm like going over like, yeah, we're talking about Knicks tickets. Yeah, we're going to get into your examination in a minute.
So this lady, old lady, manhandling my shit, right? And then just jams that fucking pin, and I jumped backwards. And, I mean, that's the worst feeling, and it was the same shit. They give you pills, and then that's it.
It goes away.
And you're so happy, but the process is terrible.
This is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. Of course, we're not drinking anything right now because we are in the room tomb. G Monetti, how are you enjoying Club W? Club W.
Word up. They just sent me the wine, man. Yo, it was nice. And I'm not a wine guy, but the taste that I had, the three bottles that I got, yo.
They customize it to what you like.
Yep.
Club W is a sponsor of the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast. If you love drinking wine, convenient, fair prices. Since I've joined Club W, they changed everything. It's easy. You just go to clubw.com and answer some simple questions. Then they send you wine directly to your door, perfectly customized to match your taste. Club W is leading the grape-to-glass wine revolution. They work directly with vineyards to cut out the middlemen, which saves you money. I can't stand the middleman. So with Club W, you get premium wine customized to your taste at a third of what you pay at the store. They even have a no-risk 100% guarantee that you'll love what they send you. And now Club W is offering my listeners of the Ian Rappaport podcast 50% off your first order when you go to clubw.com/IamRappaport. That's clubw.com/IamRappaport. So stop wasting your time and money messing around at retail stores and start drinking the wine you know you're going to love. Just go to clubw.com/IamRappaport to get 50% off your first order. That's clubw.com/Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. All right, so this is the Ian Rappaport Stereo Podcast. For those of you who listen every week, you know that G Monetti hasn't gotten a physical in years. And he's been lying to us, basically. I hate to use that word, so you're looking at me.
I've been
avoiding.
Stretching the truth.
Okay. About getting a physical. I'm concerned about my friend, my co-host, my brother. Essentially, it's Eric Rappaport, Dr. Eric Rappaport. My brother's a doctor, just so you know that. You're like, what do you mean? My brother's has a tenure at a school in Halifax. Halifax University, University of Halifax. You say the name Rappaport?
He's body with you.
We're all about it up there. Okay, and his wife. I have smart lineage. You might be like, well, what happened to you, asshole? That's for another discussion. Okay? I'm the one here making the jokes.
Word.
That's a shout out to my brother Eric. Just got his doctorate.
Yeah, congrats to E-Rap.
University of Halifax. You might get $15-$20 off your tuition.
Yeah.
If you mention the Ian Rappaport Stereo Podcast, if you go to the University of Halifax, Canada.
That's right.
Now, G Monetti, you haven't gotten a physical in years.
That has since changed.
Okay. We're approaching a sheriff's car, and we have podcast microphones in our hands. If we get pulled over, G Monetti, what should we tell them we're doing? Oh, I'm going to be like, I'm driving my friend around. He has
autism.
Autism or?
Or what?
He's
a mute. He's a dummy.
Yeah, do that. I'm sorry, officer. I'm taking this guy right in front of us while we're doing this live episode from the Vroom Tomb. Two sheriff officers from Los Angeles County. We don't want any problems.
Rodney King. That's all two words.
Okay, but we're not going to, hopefully we won't get pulled over because I feel like there's some sort of citation to be given to be driving and have a stereo podcast microphone.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, they're gone. Back to business.
Yeah.
G Monetti. You haven't gotten a physical in, let's say, 20 years? When was the last time you...
5 years ago, man.
Bullshit. Bullshit. All right, all right. When was the last time you got your blood drawn?
5 years ago.
Bullshit.
It has to be.
Okay, okay.
But I got it.
Okay, okay. So you're saying you...
I went and got a routine.
From where?
It's called City MD.
Okay, and what did they do to you? Explain the whole thing. I don't want to have to fucking pull it out
of
you.
No, my blood work I didn't get because I ate a coffee cake, and the lady said...
So what'd she do? She fucking... She tested your...
She said...
Your reflexes with the little popper?
And then the stethoscope, all that. She said, heart and lungs are clear. I said, bitch, I knew that.
You said that to the doctor?
No, but she went over and did everything. She said, come back for the blood work. Don't eat breakfast. Blah, blah, blah.
So you didn't get blood work. Did you get a prostate exam?
No.
I'm asking you the questions. Did you get any swabs, testing, or anything?
That's when I go back. Then I'm going to give you
the... What's the holdup?
Because I didn't go back because I ate, and then I got caught in some other
shit. So you basically... So did you get your blood pressure taken?
Yep.
And what was your blood pressure?
Fine.
So right now, you've
got... She said you're a picture of health.
You've gotten 30% of a physical. The blood work is the big thing.
Yeah. I know what it's going to be, man. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get that. Then the next time I kick it to you...
And what about the prostate?
I spoke to her about that. She said, no, we don't got to dig up in you.
That's what she told you? So did you get this at a supermarket? Like, we're like, oh, we're giving physicals. Like, you know, no. Get your...
Go to the website, CityMD. They're all over New York City.
Okay, so did you get this at a hot dog stand? Like, three hot dogs and get your blood pressure run?
I just told you.
Where'd you get your fucking this?
Yonkers, Y-O.
All right, so basically you didn't get a full physical.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Is it safe to say?
the blood. That's the only thing. They did the blood pressure. They did all that.
Okay. All right. The people are disappointed. and you're continuing to avoid this.
Yo, nah, man. I went and did that, man. I got the paperwork and all that.
Okay. Okay.
Come on, yo.
Okay, G. Okay. Whatever you say.
She said.
Whatever you say. Whatever
and
you
when
say.
I come back with the blood results.
Then
I'm going to talk my shit.
Oh, like you're going to brag that you don't have any problems?
Why shouldn't I?
After all the abuse you've taken from
right,
me?
Right, right.
I have to say, because I give G. Monetti shit, and it's only out of love, care, and the art of ball breaking. Since you've come to L.A., you look thin, you look lean and mean, and I have not one complaint about any breath. Because the last trip, I told you there was a problem. There was a situation.
Come on, man.
And you didn't want to hear me. You thought I was doing it just for the ball break. Yo. And I said, I was bracing myself for your return.
I had a fever, B.
This guy's got more fucking excuses. More fucking... You had a fever. The NBA All-Star Game is upon us. I don't know if I'm going up to the Celebrity All-Star Game. I haven't figured it out yet.
I don't like all of it.
Well, you don't like what about the NBA? You know that Andre Drummond, one of our favorite basketball players at the Iron Rapport Star, you know, because he is improving himself. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yo, you saw that?
Yeah, the pigeon.
Yo, we're driving in the room to him. A fucking pigeon almost ran into the...
Yeah, his flight.
His flight almost got delayed. Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons, this is a professional basketball player, an all-star. You know that he missed 23 free throws in one game? Yeah, and you know when you shoot free throws, everything slows down, you have a little time to think? He must just feel like shit up there, like, God damn.
Shooting air balls and shit.
Oh, air balls, like fucking curve balls, knuckle balls.
See, if he get into any kind of negotiation...
They're going to be like, yo.
I just show film, and you want what?
How much money you want?
And you can't even make a... You shooting air balls?
We're
taking money away from you now.
Yeah, you can't even shoot free throws, man. There's little kids that can shoot 20 in a row. My son Maceo, I've seen him make 20 in a row on the regular.
They should start taking money from cats.
Yo, you can't shoot any free... It doesn't make any sense to me.
If I was the owner, I'd do that. Be like, oh, you missing... Oh, 30%. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. But how are you feeling about the All-Stars in general? Russell Westbrook.
I'm not... Russell Westbrook is nice. He plays the hardest, and he dominates.
I've never seen anybody play as hard as him. And that's saying a lot because Allen Iverson, I mean, they say he played harder, but the aggressiveness and the tenacity that he plays with 150% of the time, the only people you could compare that to...
Is Westbrook.
Is Iverson, Luttrell. I mean, there's other people that play hard, but the physical speed at which he plays...
Right, right. He's going to be all-star, but... Let me just kind of backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about, you know, the dress code? Like David Stern said, you know, I don't want to see Allen Iverson. I want business casual. I don't want the urban, like, you know, the jeans, the vests, and the, you know.
You know, Allen, you know, David Stern and the NBA dress rule is when you think about it, now you just said that, is single-handedly is why fashion propelled forward, actually, when you think about it. Because the NBA, if they didn't do anything, who knows what dudes were wearing. But the NBA dudes having to wear suits and, like, you know, LeBron and the D-Wade and all them. Because those, you know, like D-Wade, he gets a little crazy. But basically, like, having dudes come in wearing suits and all that. At first, it was that sort of pushed it into the fashion forward thinking that we are now. But now I think I know where you're going. Continue. Sorry.
So... David Stern said that's unacceptable.
You can't wear jerseys if you're already in the NBA.
And urban shit, like that shit, Tim's and all that, right?
Do-rags when you win the MVP.
And now, what I'm seeing is seemingly guys are wearing women's clothing.
For instance?
I seen Westbrook wearing high waters, capris. I seen real a lot tight shit with like, really tight, where it's like offensive tight.
What do you mean?
Like if a man who's 6'8" was wearing tight jeans, right? Really tight that just hug his leg, You're going to see dick print. That's what I say, offensive shit. So if Iverson is offending you with Tim's and slightly baggy jeans.
Well, he wasn't slightly.
No, it wasn't AI, hanging off his ass.
AI was taking
No, he wasn't doing the gang member shit.
But AI, and we love Allen Iverson is one of my favorite athletes and people of all time. But he took the shit
too far. But listen, now you got motherfuckers turn the tunnel into the whole stroll.
Keep going.
I see motherfuckers with their stomach out.
Uh-huh.
Are you selling ass after the game? Adam Silver needs to say, I said, let's read this shit. I said, business casual. You ain't a hoe. Why is your stomach out? Why is your pants? It's like a porno walk. The player's ball. I don't like it, Rap.
They're taking it too far.
Wait till the All-Star game.
Oh, the All-Star
game. It's one motherfucker that's going to push the envelope and put on a dress. Watch. Watch.
I think that there should be a color limit. You can only wear an outfit with three colors. I think normally it's two. But I say, just to give the extra color, you say three. Now, I'm not a fashion guy. We're not fashion guys. We don't do outfit grid. One of our favorite Instagram things. A lot of guys out there, they could dress.
Yeah.
Not me or you.
Nah, I'm not with it.
But I think three colors is fair.
He got to institute something.
They gotta chill it out. Dudes are coming in.
Dudes are coming in with their stomach out. Yo, where we going with it? You stop, my man. You stop Iverson. You stop the black culture. Now, this shit, stop this shit. Be fair. And for the new Giants coach, since you're on that now, this is what you do when you come in. You be like Steinbrenner.
Yeah,
and say, yo, all that fly bullshit, you're wasting time. Off with the mustache. You in the back, Blondie.
You, Odell, we love you. You're unbelievable. But the fucking, is that hairstyle that Odell Beckham has? Is it called the Odell?
I don't know. It's catching on, though.
Because I see a lot of people are doing the Odell.
Yo.
And I see a lot of people, like, the fade isn't good. It's like a fade into a mohawk. It's like a mohawk fit. But I see a lot of dudes in the NBA and
rocking
in college.
That.
But I never saw anybody before Odell.
Odell was the first.
So people are going to get their hair done being like, yo.
With the alligator shit.
Let me get that Odell.
It gotta be. How else you gonna explain that at the barbershop? He don't know what the fuck you're talking
about.
If you
say I want the Odell, they know exactly what you want.
So it has to be that.
The Odell. Let me get that Odell.
Let me get that Odell. Well, shit, that's gonna take at least 2 days.
To do that?
It has to, right?
You need to get the Odell Beckham shit. You would look dope with that shit.
Are you crazy?
Yo, to get ready to come out and do this I Am Rapport Stereo podcast.
My shit don't grow, and I'm glad.
Yeah, but you do a lot of primping and propping to get ready now. You shaved your fucking head.
I always do that in the shower.
You shave your head every day?
I use that good Harry's.
To shave your head?
Every 2 days.
Every 2 days to shave your dome looks nice and nice and shiny.
That's right. That's what I want.
This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I don't know. We're going to wind it down. We're going to wind it down. You know what, Miles? The sound guy for the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, his name is Miles Davis. The other producer is Jordan Winter. We call him J-Dub. Cue in the sick fuck of the week music.
Right.
This award is earned, not given. It's called the sick fuck of the week. This guy's really sick. Lock him up.
How could you do it?
Don't let him out.
Damn. You fucked the dog?
You what?
You fucked the dog? Why would you fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog?
What sick fuck?
The sick fuck of the week. It's earned.
Earned?
Not given. You did what? No. No.
No. No! I don't know what's going on with the animal abuse. And of course, again, and I have nothing against Florida. I don't know what they're fucking drinking. There's Flint, Michigan is suffering from water problems. There's got to be something in the water with what's going on in Florida. Javier O'Reilly.
Javier or
O'Reilly. He's like maybe half Spanish, half Irish.
Who knows?
Arrested the other day after he decapitated a dog
that quote unquote looked at him weird.
I don't mean to laugh at, but yo.
Yo, and then the, he received an anonymous call. For the police received it because he was kicking and throwing around his dog. Yo, that's horrible, man, because I have a dog.
And a nice dog.
Wheezy. And we're going to get into this in the next episode. Gerald came up with a great idea, which I, after I finish this sick fuck, we're going to tell the great idea.
Yep.
Because my dog, Wheezy, who I think I'm going to have his own Instagram page, he's become sort of a celebrity.
That's right.
Wheezy, we're going to come up with what we're doing for him. But this guy, the sick fuck of the week, is kicking and throwing around his dog, digging a grave in front of his apartment. He had knives, a medieval axe, and some money on a red towel. And behind the dog's head was a piece of dead animal skin attached to a stick. This guy killed a duck.
Depraved.
This sick fuck, the sick fuck of the week. Javier O'Reilly, down in West Palm Beach. You, my friend, are the sick fuck of the week.
Yeah.
And it's an award that is earned.
Not given.
It's earned.
Only earned.
Tell what you're going to do for Wheezy. My dog Wheezy, I got from the pounds of Louisiana. That's why his name is Wheezy. Not like fucking Wheezy from the Jeffersons. Wheezy, like Louisiana.
I heard he's going to have a shoe. You've been commissioned.
Yes, because...
They reached out to you and said, you know, he's becoming famous and you can kind of... Yeezy with his shoe.
Yeezy's got the Air Yeezys.
Right, and you said you didn't have any designer fucking experience. How are you going to make a shoe for this?
And then they said, well, neither did Kanye, and look at the shits he's made.
Right.
He's made fucking moon boots. So coming out later in 2016, we're announcing the Air Yeezys. Yes, that's right.
Yes,
that's right. My dog has a signature shoe coming out called the Air Yeezys. If Kanye could do the Air Yeezys and those fucked up, crazy looking moon boots, then by golly, my dog, Wheezy, is gonna come out with his signature line of the Air Yeezys. Coming soon to a shoe store near you.
Petco.
Near Petco near you. See, I'm Rapport Stereo Podcast coming live and direct from Los Angeles, California, from the Vroom Tomb.
Word.
Uncut. Me and G Monetti doing it live and direct. We're going to come back to you next week with more episodes. We might do a live episode next week, hopefully. If not, we're going to tell you how the oxtail stew for the NFL playoffs.
And oxtail banquet.
And we're out, man. We're out. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast.
Peace.